The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
And we say good morning, Rolene Marks.
Boker Tov, Kathy, and let me tell you something. If I was in Joburg, I would be getting myself to Sana and Daba. A very, very good friend of mine will be speaking there, and I urge everybody to go and hear him, Michael Dixon from Stand With Us, amongst all the other incredible speakers who will be available there. So I join you in spirit.
Thank you so much, if not in stilettos. Rolene, International Women's Day, what's the status for women in Israel?
Well, first of all, for all the ladies out there, happy International Women's Day. I know that many say, why do we need an International Women's Day? Well, I think there are many issues that women still tackle today. Some of them are very, very much in the global conversation. Gender equality, gender parity, the fight for many against sexual harassment. But let's look at the status of women in Israel. Women in Israel enjoy far more rights than a lot of their sisters in the neighborhood and across the world. I'm very proud to say that although we are leaps and bounds ahead of many, we're still fighting hard because we feel that there is still a long way to go. So if we look at Israel's 70-year-old history as a modern state, we were one of the first to have a female prime minister, the magnificent Golda Meir. So for us, it was amusing when the American elections were taking place. For us, it was so very 1960s. We've had a female head of the Supreme Court, a female foreign minister. We have a female justice minister. We have women taking up more positions of decision-making and power within the army. We have women who are playing a major role in high-tech. In fact, 51% of employees in the high-tech industry are women. So we are really, really making strides. However, there are still areas in Israel where we would like to see the advancement of women within the minority communities, within the Arab sector. We would like to see women in that community a lot more empowered. We would like to see women in the Haredi community a lot more empowered. Having said that, many women in the Haredi community actually work in Israel's thriving high-tech industry. So long may we continue to flourish and prosper and fight hard for our rights.
Fantastic. Rolene, when you say in the minority groups in Israel where women aren't empowered, where does one draw the line between social empowerment and cultural empowerment?
Well, this is where we do have challenges. One of the phenomena we are noticing coming from the Haredi community as NGOs who work with improving the status of women is that for the first time in a very, very long time, or in fact ever, we are seeing women reporting acts of abuse. And, you know, we have to deal with these issues separately, how we deal with these issues in a more secular community, because we have to involve rabbonim, we have to involve communal decision makers. So that is where we see where we may have to draw the line and be a little bit more careful. Also within communities like our Muslim Arab communities, where women aren't as empowered as the more secular communities, we also have to involve the men in those decisions. Having said that, we do have NGOs, WITSO is one of them, where we have empowered women to the point where many of them have industry that they work, that they operate out of their home, so that they are becoming earners, they are becoming supporters for their family. And we have seen some of these women go on to be involved in the political process in the country and become mayors of their villages and their cities. So, you know, we have to work very, very carefully with them, taking into consideration the, you know, the cultural restrictions or the cultural doctrine, and who else we have to work with to ensure that these women are empowered.
All right, let's move on to another story. Emmanuel Macron he meets with Jews and vows to fight anti-Semitism. And then in the next breath, he says that Trump recognizing Jerusalem as the capital was a mistake.
Well, first of all, let's just address the Trump issue. You know, when President Trump made his major announcement on the 6th of December, which if you're watching APEC, that decision has actually united both Democrats and Republicans supporting Jews.
Yeah.
There was speculation that the Middle East will just erupt into flame. There were demonstrations, but the sun still rose, and we did not explode, we did not erupt into flame. It wasn't this reaction that many were anticipating. In fact, it brought to attention that Mahmoud Abbas is losing support. Because he doesn't necessarily have the strong support of America and other countries that he thought he did.
Mm.
So it really wasn't that much of a catastrophe. I think it's irked the Europeans because they feel marginalized from any kind of peace negotiations. So let's address the issue of anti-Semitism in France. We know that anti-Semitism in France is escalating rapidly. And there's been a lot of debate what to do. So Macron met last night with the CRIF, which is the umbrella body of French Jewish organizations, and they discussed, as you can imagine, very, very intensely rising anti-Semitism and how to go about fighting it, especially online. And he has pledged to fight it online. For many of you who know the status of global Jewry, France has the biggest population in the diaspora after the United States. And he said that, and it's language we often hear from the French, an attack on the Jews is an attack on all of France. And while we're talking about it, there is a debate that is raging in French intellectual circles over whether to publish anti-Semitic pamphlets of a renowned writer. I mean, this...
Why is that even a question? Surely hate speech is hate speech.
Exactly. Exactly. My worry is that what is happening in Poland is emboldening other countries.
Yeah,
That is a big worry for me, that it's, all of a sudden it's socially acceptable to be anti-Semitic. I mean, there shouldn't even be a debate whether or not to publish anti-Semitic pamphlets. The answer should be no, full stop. You know, we wonder if this was any other minority community, if the same debate would be taking place.
Interesting.
You know, it's becoming more and more mainstream to attack Jews. The other day there was an actress, Amber Tamblyn, made mention of Hasidic Jewish men. And again, the issue was raised on social media. Why did you not just say these men who were driving badly? Why did you have to say Hasidic men? If it was any other minority community, would you have mentioned it like that?
Well, do they drive worse than anybody else?
Well, nobody can drive worse than we do in Israel. Let's put that out there right now. That's the question. Do they drive worse than anybody else? And if it was anybody else, would she have called them out by group or by race or by religion?
Yeah. All right. Raline, can we move on? Let's talk about Poland.
Of course it is.
Polish Prime Minister says the Poles should be proud of events that triggered anti-Semitic incitement in 1968. What?
I mean, that was my reaction as well. You know, yesterday we heard from Polish lawmakers from Warsaw who condemned the 1968 massacres of Jews and also condemned anti-Semitism. Today we have the Prime Minister of Poland saying that his countrymen should, instead of being ashamed of the events that happened 50 years ago when anti-Semitism drove thousands of Jews to leave, they should be proud. I mean, this situation in Poland is going from bad to worse. And as you can understand, Jewish leaders are absolutely furious. And he said, you know, we often hear that March 1968 should be a reason for shame for Poland, for the Poles who fought for freedom. They should be a source of pride. And he didn't explain why Poles should be proud of the month in which anti-Semitic posters appeared through Poland, but he said that the fact that that Poles fought the communists was something to be proud of. The problem is that he made mention, made a reference to the uprising where Jews were vilified in the media, that they were closely controlled by the state. And that is why many of them were massacred in March 1968. He says the Poles should be proud of those events. And to me, it's just becoming untenable.
You know what? I think maybe, I don't know, Poland's really struggling to come to its come to terms with its past. And unfortunately, you can't erase that. You can't erase that.
You can't erase the past. And I'm very curious. I'm off to Berlin for the very first time this weekend, where I've been told that the past is everywhere. Germans have confronted their past, and I'm very curious to see the paradox between how Germany dealt with its past and what we are seeing in Poland at the moment.
Yeah, interesting. Rolene, that's where we leave it today. Thank you very much. I believe we're not speaking to you tomorrow because you're going to be on an aeroplane, but we wish you safe travels, and we look forward to catching up with you next week, Monday, with the...
Thank you. I'll be back on Monday, bright and breezy. Well, grass, I don't know how breezy.
You're going to Europe. It's freezing. You'll be very breezy. Thank you so much, and Shabbat Shalom to you. God bless.
Shabbat Shalom. God bless.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Rolene Marks. She is our Israel correspondent.